Praise the Lord, church. I love that old throwback song. A little different from what I remember it. How many of you remember that when we all get to heaven? You can be seated this morning. And it is so good to be back. My wife and I have been on vacation. We left right after Christmas, and we got home last Wednesday night late. And it kind of had to bob and weave our way across the southern half of the country because of snow. If you've ever traveled in snow up here in a snowstorm, it's one thing. But if you've ever been in Arkansas or in Texas in a snowstorm, it's a whole different experience. So we tried to avoid that. But it was a great vacation. We got to do some fishing, and I was excited about that, and I caught the largest crappie. How many of you like to fish? I mean, you go crappie fishing, they're good pan fish. They make good fish fries, and I caught a 17-inch crappie, and I've never caught one. It was almost 2 inches thick, and when I reeled that thing in, I was like, yes, everything is bigger in Texas. So we had a great time, and brother and sister Rick and Linda Wells went along with us, and we had a great time. And but also, it's good to be home. Continue to pray for Sister Del Degg. Just before we left, Brother Jim had passed, and we'll be giving you some updates on the funeral service for Brother Jim, and then also Brother Larry Conley, who went in for a heart surgery, heart bypass, and he's had a number of complications from that. So just remember to pray for Brother Larry. Now, I want to share something with you that I wanted to wait until after Christmas, and you'll understand why. But it was back in around Thanksgiving. Actually, it was actually Thanksgiving. Our family was gathered, and many of you know our bishop has been struggling with his health for some time, and he has had a number of different types of cancers over the years, and one of the last cancers that he had was his prostate. Had prostate cancer. They removed his prostate. He underwent some treatments for a little while, and he stopped with those treatments because you kind of have to determine quality of life versus treatments and what's better and such. But the prostate cancer is a very slow-moving cancer, and the doctors told him that he would probably die from something else. But the prostate cancer has come back, and it has gone into his bladder, and then, of course, it has gone into his lymph nodes as well. So he recently went in. I say recently, this was before Thanksgiving. He had gone in and met with the doctors, and the doctors basically had given him about 1 year to live. So this is a struggle. It's rough. We've been through this. Many of you have gone through this. And as Bishop has taught us over the years, that one out of one die. And as he talked with us, with the family on Thanksgiving, he was very upbeat. He said, you know what? He said, I've lived a good life. God has been good to me. I've had an opportunity to pastor some terrific people. And he said, heaven is my ultimate destination. And only two ways to get there. Either you die, or you're raptured. And so just continue to pray for Bishop and, of course, for my mother. And just pray for them, that God would just give them strength. And they're not here today, and they're probably watching this online, and my dad's probably saying, son, you got that all balled up. But nevertheless, just pray for them. And just let them know the next time you see them, you're praying for them, as well as all of those others in our church that are going through similar situations. But God is good. God is good. God is faithful. And I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful to have a relationship with God. And I'm so thankful that I have a family. I have a physical family, but we have a spiritual family right here. This is Calvary Gospel Church. You are my brothers, you are my sisters, and God has placed us together to help us navigate life and to get through life together. And love each and every one of you, appreciate you. And with that, there's just no easy way to kind of segue into today's message. But we're going to be starting a series today, and I'm going to get into, at the end of this, our prayer and fasting for the next 3 days. I'm going to give you a little bit more direction on that. But I'm going to start off, we're going to be talking about discover, delight, develop, and deploying your spiritual gifts. I believe that God has given to his church spiritual gifts. Now, we talk about the fivefold ministry. We're going to get into a little bit of that. I'm not going to get into too much as we get started. But there are a number of ways in which when you talk about or discuss spiritual gifts, there's a number of ways in which we could start off this study on spiritual gifts. Many of you know from sitting here over the years that I tend to lean a little bit more on the practical side of Scripture. I believe that the Scripture was written so that the average common man could understand. There's some deep, dark nuggets, I guess if you could call it that, some things you have to get into and dig for. But the Scripture, in large, salvation was not made complicated. Jesus didn't come to this earth. He didn't lay it out and say, salvation is you have to reach a certain social status. You have to reach a certain budgetary number, or you have to have a certain level of education. As Brother Jerry so eloquently preached this morning and taught in our Bible class, it's for anyone, it's for everyone. And spiritual gifts, if you are a born-again believer and you are a member of Calvary Gospel Church, you're a member of the body of Christ, spiritual gifts are for you. Spiritual gifts are for all of us. One of the gifts that I feel God has gifted me in is the gift of gab. So I turned that gift of gab into preaching and teaching. And I wasn't always a gabby person. I was at one time very introverted and very quiet. In fact, I remember getting into an argument up at church camp that I was a Grant and that John and Steve were my brothers. And this individual I was arguing with was trying to tell me that, no, just John and Steve are the only two Grant boys. There's no other Grant boy. And I'm like, yes, there is. It's me. I'm the middle one. And I've learned how to use that gift. So it's my goal in these lessons is to teach us how we as an individual, we as a church, we can delight, discover, delight, and develop, and most importantly, deploy the gifts that God has given to us. So you can discover a gift, you can delight in that gift, you can develop that gift, but you have to deploy that gift. You have to put it into action. So I have a lot to lay out today as our introduction to this series. Now, normally I have a series passage of Scripture that I will read for a series. And for this series, there's going to be a number of passages of Scripture. I'm not going to read them all at the beginning of every lesson because it would take a good amount of time to do that. But for today, I want to start off in the book of Ephesians. I probably threw some of you off there. You thought I was going to go to Corinthians, but we'll get to that. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to start in verse 11, and I'm going to read through verse 16, and I'm reading out of the NIV today. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, you may have heard the statement before about the fivefold ministry. Basically, the fivefold ministry is right listed right here. There's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists, there's pastors, and there's teachers. Now, Brother Jerry made a point this morning about finding biblical doctrine, that the best place to find doctrine biblically is to go to the source, and that's the Bible. I want to encourage you to stay in the book if you're studying about the book. So if you want to know about fivefold ministry, don't go to some internet site. Because I watched two well-known Bible scholars that are not apostolic in denomination, but they were discussing apostles, prophets, and they had kind of determined that apostles and prophets were no longer needed. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, so Christ himself, this is a gift from God himself. He says, I'm going to give to my church. I'm going to give them apostles. I'm going to give them prophets. I'm going to give them evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why am I going to do this? We have to ask ourselves when we read the scripture. We can read it, but we have to ask those questions. Why? To equip his people. Christ says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave this earth, but I'm going to equip my people. I'm going to equip the church to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Spiritual gifts were given to mature and perfect the body of Christ. Now we move on. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul is again writing. This time he's writing to the church in Corinth. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. So he says, you know what? I don't want you to be ignorant about these gifts, about prophecy and about apostles and about evangelists and preachers and teachers. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to elaborate. He said, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are all varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Just going to pause here. So maybe you have the gift of prophecy. It's the same Spirit, it's the same Lord, and it's the same God that empowers that gift that empowers the gift of service, the same gift that our ushers have. So the same God that says, I'm going to give you a gift of prophecy, or I'm going to give you a gift of teaching or preaching, or I'm going to give you a gift of evangelism, or I'm going to give you the gift of apostolic ministry, is the same God that says, I'm going to give you the gift of ushering and greeting and serving. There is, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and the other the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits or discernment. To others various kinds of tongues. To others the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So it's one body. We are one body of Christ, and we are many members. So every one of us here is a member of the body of Christ. So every one of us here will have and should have different gifts based upon where we are as a member. An example of that. So maybe you're an eyeball. I heard this. This is very interesting. That the human eye, when a human looks out, the blood vessels in the eye are between the eye and not the cornea. What's the other part of the eye? I need one person to... Yeah. Retina. Okay, there we go. I heard it argued that the octopus had such better eyesight than a human had because their blood vessels and their eyes were on the other side of the retina, thus giving them a better clarity. And as I begin to read and study on this, God designed the octopus to live underwater. He designed us to live above water. And we have UV rays above water, but you don't have UV rays underwater. So if we had the octopus eye above water, we wouldn't be able to see any better than he would be able to see below the water. So God designs his body. If you're an eye in the body of Christ, if you're a leg, if you're a tendon, no matter what you are in the body of Christ, now I'm using body parts to describe this, okay, because we all understand that. We're all different, but we all serve an important purpose. So you may feel that, well, I'm the eye, so without the eye, you can't see. Well, without the feet, you can't walk. Without the big toe, it's hard to balance. So everyone has an importance. So your gifting does not place you at a higher level of importance in the body of Christ. For we are one body, many members, and all the members, though many, are one body, as so with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all who were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? And if the whole body were an ear, then where would you get that sense of smell from? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Yeah, just wait till the wind blows and something gets in your eye. You'll find out how bad you need the hand, right? So on the contrary, all parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. I can't look out here today and look at anyone's heart. I don't see your heart. You've probably never seen your heart as well. I've seen like these graphical pictures, you know, an MRI of my heart, but it doesn't look anything like what I think my heart would look like. So we've never seen our heart, but just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't have a vital part of our body. So just because your gift may not be a very vocal or seen gift doesn't mean that it's not important in the body of Christ. A lot of times we put importance based upon the gifts that we see the most often. I know we're getting through this, but the gifts we see the most often are generally the ones that are most often abused. We're going to get into that in a few more lessons. So, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are in the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, the gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. All are apostles. All are prophets. All are teachers. All do all work miracles. Excuse me, are all prophets? So he's asking a question here now. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So just because you don't have one of those five gifts doesn't mean that whatever gift God has given to you isn't important in the body of Christ. I am so very, very, very thankful for our sound people.
So I understand and I enjoy and I respect the gift of technology.
Because I struggle with that. Brother Dennis back there, when things go haywire, you can see them calmly. Just, I would be back there, we would be pushing buttons, and it would just be a disastrous mess. I'm thankful for the gift of administration. Brother Phil is phenomenally gifted in administration, policy, and I understand. I love policy, but man, I hate having to put it together. Somebody bring it to me and let me read it and say, yes, I like that. You see, so we all have gifts. So within this series, I want to lay out a path for each of us to determine, how does God wish to use us? What gifts has he desired us to possess? Paul expresses this idea in two different ways in this passage. First, at the end of verse 3, he writes that we are to think about ourselves according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then in verse 6, he writes about gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And it's very clear here when Paul is referring to grace, he's not talking about grace as in a salvation point. A lot of people refer to these passages of Scripture as grace, as salvation. So given the context, Paul is making the point that we can't boast about whatever gifts that we have. Why? Because God has sovereignly assigned these gifts to us as he desires. I want you to understand something. Pastor Roy does not take, after you've been baptized, received the Holy Ghost, spoken in tongues, take you in to an office and say, okay, these are the gifts I'm going to assign to you. Learn how to use them and perfect them. I don't have anything to do with assigning of the gifts. God gives the gifts as he sees fit. And also the gifts we have and the faith to exercise those gifts has been given to us by God in varying measures and varying degrees. So someone here may have the gift of preaching or teaching, and other people may have the gift of preaching or teaching, but you may have a varied level or degree of that gift. We will begin to see this even more clearly as we begin to break down Paul's letter to the church there in Corinth. Now, there are a variety of gifts, he says, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities or gifts, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. So no matter what gift you have, it is from God. And God sees fit that you are the best one to have and to utilize this gift and to share it with the body, to help the body mature and to grow. The gift is not given to you to sit on it by yourself. So when Paul writes that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, we have to operate the gifts with humility. Paul here is reminding us that no one can either boast about his or own gifts nor look down upon the gifts that others possess. Why? Because every gift we possess is due only by the grace of God. So we have to ask ourselves, how would we define, when we look at spiritual gifts, how does one define a spiritual gift? Now, we can give titles of gifts. How do you define? Spiritual gifts are special abilities given to us by the grace of God. Understand that we don't earn them. Doesn't matter how much you put in the offering plate or how much you don't have. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. We don't earn them. Brother Rossing and some of our older saints that have been here for, I look back at Sister Jody and Sister Jan, the Thorpes, Sister Carolyn Thorpe, I think is the longest, she's been a member of Calvary Gospel Church all the way back in the 50s when she first came into the church, and she's been a faithful member of Calvary Gospel Church. And just because she's been here more than and longer than anybody else doesn't mean God is saying, going to look at her and say, well, I'm going to give you more gifts than anyone else. It's not based on tenure. Doesn't matter how long you've been here. Doesn't matter how we acquire them. However, the gifts, however, are given to us by the Spirit of God, in which we use in turn to build the church of Jesus Christ. They are special abilities. A lot of times, God will give us gifts based upon talents that we have. So if you're not a very organized person, and you struggle with organization, there's a good chance God won't give you the gift of administration. I'm just being honest. There are reasons why certain gifts God hasn't given me, because he knows if he gave them to me, I would mess them up. And as messing them up means I would probably mess you up. Is everybody with me this morning? Oh, I'm having a hard time this morning, only because the lights seem to be very dim out there. And I know they're experimenting with different lights for the cameras and all that stuff, but I seem to be very well lit up here, and you seem to be very dark out there. And I'm struggling with that because I normally can look at your facial expressions. Brother Tim, wake up, Brother Tim. I'm just messing with him. So Jesus shed his blood for our redemption. We, having heard the word of truth, we've been delivered from sin by the sovereign power of God, not by our own works. Paul states, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone could boast. But having said that, in Ephesians 2:10, which reads, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned in advance, and we should walk in them. And what I'm saying to you concerning these spiritual gifts, after we've had a chance to look at this, hopefully we can, as individuals, organize many of the good works or gifts God has ordained for us to do. And many of these gifts will come along with the pattern of your gifting and ministry, your talents that one has developed over the years. And I just want to say, you may have a specific gift today, and as the years go by, your gifting may change. And the reason I'm bringing all of this out is because when we get into our prayer and fasting, I want to challenge you to pray and fast about some of these things. So many of these gifts will come along with a gifting in your ministry, your talents that one has developed over the years. And that's a beautiful thing that God develops. We see this in each other. We see each other as we develop. And we can see in that same chapter in Ephesians 2 that Paul states that we have this grand and glorious vision of a church, a holy temple, a spiritual dwelling place that's rising in the Lord, and it's getting more and more glorious. I believe very strongly that the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, should operate with top shelf, top-notch efficiency. God created our human bodies to operate at such a high level of efficiency. Now, we may think that differently as we get older, but it's because we were over-efficient with our bodies, a lot of us, that now we're having trouble as we get older. But nevertheless, the body of Christ should operate with a high level of efficiency. Doesn't mean perfection. I'm talking about efficiency. And all the time, it should grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And with every sinner that comes to faith in Christ, that has repented and baptized and received the Holy Spirit, they become a part of that, and we all become a part of this together. To bring in the language from 2 Peter chapter 2, we are living stones set in a spiritual temple. And there's a powerful and glorious picture in that. Many years ago, I was able to go to Europe with my father-in-law. He was in the 101st Airborne during World War II. He was in the 327th Glider Division, Infantry Division. So instead of jumping out of a perfectly good airplane with a parachute, he went in a glider plane. So this plane had no motor, and it was towed by another plane. And once they cut you loose from that tow rope, you had one shot to land the thing. And they didn't drop you off by an airport. They were trained to land those gliders in open fields and any road that the fuselage would fit in. The wings were disposable, so you could land with the fuselage, and if the wings were ripped off, they were designed to work one time, and that's it. So we were in Germany, and we had a chance to go to Cologne, Germany. And there at Cologne, Germany, is probably one of the most imposing Gothic masterpiece of cathedral that's ever been built. It's absolutely amazing if you ever get a chance to go there. But it was started building it in 1248. It's hard to imagine. And it was completed in 1880. So in between 1248 and 1880 lied 600 years of exciting construction history that had many, many challenges because the original people that designed it and started building it were now dead. And their children picked up the trade, and their grandchildren and their grandchildren. It was five and six generations of stone cutters and stone workers and architects and carpenters and glaziers that built the majestic stained glass windows, all the common laborers, all of this that went into building this magnificent cathedral. 600 years, yet Jesus Christ has been building his church for 2,000 plus years. And it has been passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. So what Peter is saying to us here in the scripture is this is far, far better. This is eternal. What we are involved in, church, this is glorious. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And we all have a role to play. Every Christian has a role. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to look at spiritual gifts. We're going to organize them into a pattern of discovering our gift, delighting in our gift, developing our gift, and how do we properly deploy our gifts. So in our next lessons, we're going to look in more detail as to how does all of this apply to me as an individual. Doesn't matter to me how old you are, how young you are. God has a gift or gifts for each and every one of us. So in our next lessons, we're going to look at how this all applies. We're going to start with discover. How do we discover? We're going to take the discover section, and I'm going to break it into two different parts. And we're going to go through Ephesians 4 with a little bit more substance and clarity. And then we're going to get into Romans chapter 2. And we're going to use Romans chapter 12 to build on this. So over the next 3 days, we're going to be going into 3 days of prayer and fasting. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. What are my spiritual gifts? What are my gifts? And what role do I personally play? How can I discover this personal gift that God has for me? We're going to get into that in a bit more detail, but I want you to start praying about this. How do I deploy? A lot of times we get to the level to where that we have it all together, but we have to take and we have to put action into our gift, and that's where we struggle so many times. I've talked with some of our ladies that have been involved in our deaf ministry, and I'm so excited as to what Sister Jennifer and what she's doing with all of the teaching and the training that's going on. This is a gift. This is a gift. And there are individuals that have decided that I want to use that gift, but it's going to take some teaching and some training. So they're putting themselves and allowing themselves to be taught and trained to utilize the gift that God has given to them and laid upon their heart. But you see, it would be of no good if they went through all the teaching, they went through all the training, but they never sat up here and deployed that gift.
That's just like when you're on your job and you go through special training on your job. The boss says, I want to send you away and I want you to learn how to repair or build a certain type of unit or widget that we're selling. So they send you away to training for a week and you come back and you say, you know, I really don't want to work on these things. God has invested heavily in his church and he's invested heavily in us as individuals. So deploy. I'm just not going to advocate. I want to use the gift that God has given to me. I want to get busy with that gift. I don't want to sit on that gift. So as we stand to our feet this morning, and as our musicians can come, I just want to encourage you here at Calvary Gospel Church, there are ample ways to get involved in ministry in our local church. And as we go into 3 days of prayer and fasting about God, what is it in me that you see that you want me to share with your body? I never thought 15 years ago that teaching and preaching would be on my gift or my gifting, because I would rather work with my hands. I would rather build something. But God just, occasionally he allows me to still build something. That's why I work up at camp, because I like to work with my hands. But God also allowed me the opportunity over the last 10 years to build something that is far greater than steps on a bathroom or shingles on a roof in Shiloh. He's allowed me to be able to help through preaching and teaching to build people as we build the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. We were saved to be put into service and to work in his kingdom. And I want to work in his kingdom until he comes back. And I understand that my role will change, because my role has changed over the years, and it will continue to change as I grow older. So there are ample ways to get involved here at Calvary Gospel Church. So we're going to be laying out a roadmap over the next few weeks on how to develop, how to discover, delight, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts. So as I said, over the next 3 days, I want you to get together with your family. If you're a single individual, that's fine. You can join up with someone's family, or just you could do it yourself as well. Say, Lord, I want you to help me discover. Right now, we're just in the discovery phase of this. Help me to discover whatever that gift is that you have given to me. I want you to help me, Lord. As our worship team begins to sing this morning, I'm just going to invite you to start on the first phase of this, and that is to just, if you'd like to come down to this altar and say, Lord, I'm struggling with my gifts, or I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in your kingdom. I want you to help me to discover, and I just want to invite you to come down to the front this morning and say, Lord, teach me, help me. And this next week, for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I want us to pray and fast and say, Lord, what is it? What is it, God, that you are calling me to accomplish in your kingdom? God bless you.